Thank you for downloading the Broadmead Community Church Sermon Podcast. We hope you enjoy it.
Thank you, Richard. Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you. Okay, this morning we are continuing in our series that we just started last week. If you were here, looking at Here I Am, that's the title of it. And these are occasions where people have said to God, yes, when he has called them to do something in their lives. And we're going to look at some of them. Last week Adam looked at Moses, and this morning we're going to look at Abraham. I'm just going to go back a few chapters and kind of catch up on the chapters. Can I just say to you, if you've not read the story of Abraham, get your Bibles out and read it. It's something else. You know, the things that go on, the way that he hears God, the way that God speaks to him again and again, it's an encouraging passage. So I would invite you to look at Abraham and find out for yourself. So I'm going to go back a little bit. Abraham over the year, well actually just before I start, he was called Abram, and his name changed later on, which I'll tell you about in a minute, but just so that you know, I'll probably flip between the two because I keep going to Abraham, but it was Abram to start with. And back in chapter 12, he was asked by God to move away from his native country and his relatives and his family's father's relatives to a land that God would show him. He was told that he would be made into a great nation. So he gets up and he goes, and he takes with him Lot, his nephew, and Sarah, his wife, and all the livestock that he had. He took all that with them, and off they went on the journey that God was calling them to. They moved on a number of occasions, and there were various situations that happened. And one of the situations is where they end up in Egypt, and Abraham gets a bit fearful, so he says to Sarah, his wife, say to the people, I'm going to say to the people that you are my sister. Because she was a very beautiful woman, and he felt that if people knew that he was married, they would kill him and, you know, take Sarah anyway. So that was what was planned. So they were welcomed by the people, they were looked after well, but God wasn't happy with what had happened. He wasn't happy with what he had done. And so he sent a plague on Pharaoh's household. And needless to say, Pharaoh says, you know, what did we do wrong? Why didn't you tell me this was your wife? And so they basically get kicked out of Egypt. Then you get into chapter 13, a number of years have passed. Lot, who has been traveling with Abram, they have a conversation together. And then they decide, because the land isn't big enough for both of them, they decide that they will part. So Abram says to Lot, choose which side you want to go to. There's this lush green side over here. There's this dry, barren land over here. So Lot chose the lush. And so Abram went the other way into the dry, barren land. Chapter 14 sees Abram rescuing Lot out of that land because a war breaks out. And then the king of Salem and a priest of God, the highest, says this after they have been rescued. Blessed be Abraham, the God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And blessed be the God Most High who has defeated your enemies for you. Chapter 15, God speaks to Abram in a vision. And he says, "Don't be afraid, Abram, for I will protect you and your reward will be great." But then he has this conversation back to God and he says, "Sovereign Lord, what good are all these blessings when I don't even have a son?" Abram suggested to God that since he hadn't been given any children, that he could pass his inheritance on to his servant. And the Lord said, "No, your servant will not be the heir. You will have your own son. And he took him outside and he said, "Look at the stars and count them if you can. Because that's how many descendants you're going to have." So vast that he can't even count the number. You know what there's a verse in scripture that says that Abraham believed the Lord and the Lord counted it him righteous because of his faith. He believed the Lord. He continued to believe the Lord. In chapter 16, his wife decides to take matters into her own hands. And she says to Abraham, "You know, I've got this servant Hagar. Why don't you sleep with her? And we'll have a child." That's what happened. They had a child. But God wasn't happy with that either. But God wouldn't forget that child. But that wasn't the child who was going to be the heir that would have the descendants' line. But God made it clear that he would look after Ishmael. God was trying to show Abraham and Sarah that he is the only one that they can trust and that he will fulfill the promise. It's only him that can do it. Abraham was being asked to trust God's promises, a promise that faced overwhelming difficulties and therefore required an all-powerful God to be fulfilled. Richard already mentioned this morning about somebody needing that word, you know, that the God is powerful, you know, the conqueror. This is what Abraham was discovering. Then you get to chapter 17 and you get the name change. And Abram is called Abraham. And the promise that with that was that he would be the father of many nations. Before he had just said be a great nation, now he is saying you'll be the father of these nations. And then he changed Sarah to Sarah. The Lord would bless Sarah and give her a son, and she would become the mother of the nations. God spoke to Sarah saying, "You will have a son." And Abraham laughed. There's a verse in the Bible that talks about Abraham laughing because they were old in age. They were 80-odd at this time. They were old. But he bowed down at the prospect of what God was going to do. Chapter 18, you see three men appearing and they confirm again the promise that God has given about the child. And this time it's Sarah that laughs because she can't see how that can be in her old age. Then you get to chapter 19 and you have Sodom and Gomorrah, the sinful city, and that place was destroyed by God. And when Lot and his wife walked out of there, unfortunately his wife looked back and became that pillar of salt. Because she was craving what was going on there. And it was not good. And God was wanting them to follow. In chapter 20, you get Abraham deceives Abimelech again. And again, another situation of introducing his wife as sister. You would have thought that he would have learned the previous time. But he didn't. And Abimelech is very upset about this again. You know, when we take things into our own hands, they don't go very well. Well, that's my experience. When I try and do it myself, it doesn't particularly go very well. But Abraham, you know, what I like about him is that he's human, that he's a bit, he is like us, that he does make mistakes. But God still continues to remind him again and again. And in chapter 21, God keeps his promise and Sarah becomes pregnant and gives birth to a son for Abraham. And they name this child Isaac. And that name means he laughed. Quite appropriate for the two of them. But Sarah, there was another person, Hagar, who had her child, Ishmael. Sarah wanted her out of the picture. And so she asked Abraham to get rid of her. Abraham didn't particularly want to do this, because obviously this was his son. But God said, listen to Sarah and do what she asks. I promise I will look after them, and I will make them their own nation of descendants. God had their plan already mapped out. Then there comes a dispute about a well, and Abraham makes a covenant with Abimelech about the well, and because Abraham had built it, but there was a dispute about whether he had done that or not. And Abraham then names that place Beersheba, meaning the well of oath. And then after that, he continues just living as a foreigner in the Philistine country for a long time. And we're going to pick it up in chapter 22. It should come on the screen. And this is the test that Abraham has to go through. So let's read together from God's word. Sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied. Here I am. Take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah. Go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on the mountain, which I will show you. The next morning, Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood for a fire for the burnt offering and set out to the place God had told him about. On the third day of the journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Stay here with the donkey, Abraham told his servants. The boy and I will travel a little further. We will worship there. Then we will come right back. So Abraham placed the wood on the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders, while he himself carried the fire and the knife. And the two of them walked together. Isaac turned to Abraham and said, Father. Yes, my son, Abraham replied. We have the fire and we have the wood, the boy said. But where is the sheep for the burnt offering? God will provide a sheep for the burnt offering, my son, Abraham answered. And they both walked on. When they arrived at the place where God had told them to go, Abraham built an altar and arranged the wood on it. Then he tied Isaac, his son Isaac, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. At that moment, the angel of the Lord from heaven, Abraham, Abraham. Yes, Abraham replied, here I am. Don't lay a hand on the boy, the angel said. Do not hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God, for you have not held from me even your son, your only son. Then Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught by its horns in the thicket. He took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering in place of his son. Abraham named that place Yahweh Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. To this day, people still use that name as a proverb. On this mountain of the Lord it will be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called again to Abraham from heaven. This is what the Lord says. Because you have obeyed me and have not withheld even your own son, your only son, I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants, your number like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies, and through your descendants all the nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me. Then they returned to their servants and travelled back to Beersheba, where Abraham continued to live. In verse 1 we see the call of Abraham again. And Abraham utters these words, "Here I am." And he instructs him to take his one and only son and go to the land of Moriah to take a sacrifice and to kill what would be to kill his son. Wow. I wonder what we would do if we'd been asked to do that. This must be the worst thing that anybody could be asked to do. It's the sort of thing that only happens in nightmares. The one through whom the entire world would be blessed, God is saying, take him and kill him. I guess many of us, if we heard that, God asking us to kill his child, we would probably say that, we'd probably possibly ignore it, thinking God's got it wrong. And it couldn't be from God, because after all, God is a loving God. He would never tell anyone to kill someone, and God would not underestimate his promise. However, Abraham knows that he hears the voice of God and he obeys him. And then in verse 3 we get saddled up with the donkey and take the wood and head off for the burnt offering to the place. I wonder what took place on that journey. What thoughts were going through Abraham's mind? What thoughts would be going through your mind? On the third day, Abraham looks up and he sees the place in the distance. Plenty of time to change his mind. Then he tells his servants, if you stay here with the donkey, Isaac and I are going to go a bit further and we're going to worship the Lord and give a sacrifice to the Lord. And note that he says, we will be back. His confidence in God was that they were both going to return. And they go off on the journey, and this must be one of the hardest conversations that Abraham had when Isaac turns to him. You've got to remember, Isaac isn't just a little boy. He's a young man. And he asks him, Father, we've got the fire and we've got the wood. But where is the sacrifice? The lamb that is going to be sacrificed. And then you hear the words again. Abraham says, God will provide. Abraham has learned through experience that God always provides when it's impossible. So they build the altar and Abraham binds up Isaac. What a struggle that must have been. And then he takes a knife and he's about to plunge the knife into Isaac when he hears an angel of the Lord calling, Abraham, Abraham. Don't kill your son. I know you truly fear God. Abraham looks up and he sees the provision is made. A ram is stuck in the thicket. And they use that to sacrifice instead of Isaac. Abraham names a place Yahweh Jireh, which means the Lord provides. And again, God reminds Abraham that because of his obedience and because he withheld nothing, not even his son, his only son. Have you noticed that it's always saying your son, your only son? If you go to the New Testament, you get the same thing said, your son, my only son, when God speaks of Jesus and the sacrifice that he is going to make. This is like a picture of what was going to happen in the future that we now have the blessing of. His only son. And he says, I will bless him, bless you. Providing is part of God's nature. It's not something he does. It's just part of who he is. He will always provide whenever he is and whatever situation we are in. He does this because he always knows what we need before we even ask or do. Think about it. The ram was already in the thicket. God knew Abraham would need it, and he had already made provision. God's promises bring hope. But what do we learn about God through this? We learn that God keeps his promises. And without God's divine intervention, there wouldn't have been a birth. And then the line for Jesus to come wouldn't have happened. God's promises always lead to his provision. And he knows what we need before we even ask him. And then this one, which I always... This is a frustrating one that we all... I know we've all felt it. God often waits to the last possible moment before providing. We've seen this time and time again during the building work. We've needed money for something and we're waiting on that provision and it comes in at the last minute. We've had so many stories of money that's come through just at the time that we need it. I hear it regularly at my work from John. But why does he do that? Why does he leave it to the last minute? Because he's testing our faith. He's wanting us to lean on him, to rely on him. What if Abraham had seen the ram partway up on the journey up to the hill, to the altar? His confidence in God may not have been so great. In fact, he might have just dismissed it as a coincidence. Does that sound familiar? How many people say, oh, it's just a coincidence? But actually, we serve a God who knows the beginning from the end. And he has already planned for you. And we just need to step into what he has. So what about us? We need to trust God's promises, even when they look far and distant or even impossible. A promise that faces overwhelming difficulty demands an all-powerful God to fulfill it. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says this, God keeps his promises. They are many, they are stunning, and they are all yes in Christ. Did you hear that? God keeps all his promises. They are stunning. And they are yes in Christ. Don't get caught up in trying to do it yourself. We can so easily get caught up. It's not happening quick enough for us. But God's answer is yes in his perfect timing. This is anything but easy. This is not easy to do. Sometimes we really struggle. And I wonder this morning, what promises have you received from God over the years? Are you still waiting for them to be answered? I'm sure many of you have had promises that have already been answered. And you can look at that again and again and praise God for that. But are there promises that you're waiting on an answer? Have you given up on that promise? Because it just feels like it's in the distance. I got that so long ago, you know, but it's just not happened. Have you forgotten about it? This morning, what I would like to say to you, I want to remind you that God does keep his promise. And for some of you this morning, God has been asking you to step into something. And I would just want to say to you, you know, you may think that because you didn't respond the first time God spoke to you about that, that you can't do that now. But God says you can. And you may think that it's too late to step into the promises that God has for you. But it's not too late. But this morning, God wants you to let go of your fear, and he wants you to step in and trust him. And just like Abraham, we need to be determined if our faith is confidence in the status quo or our confidence is in the God who gave the promise for us to step into. We can get so comfortable with the life around us. There's so many things that bring distractions. And our focus can so often get off God and onto ourselves. And that's when we try to take over and do things by ourselves, which if you're anything like me, you will know does not work. Or it takes an awful long time. You know, because you've been doing it yourself. And if you just said yes in the first place, you'd be stepping into what God has for you. So this morning, put your hope in God alone. He is able to keep his promises, and it's his power that they will be fulfilled. I don't know what the promises are that God has given to you. It may be financially. It may be a life partner that you're waiting on. It may be a child. It may be broken relationships that you're waiting for them to be mended. It may be something that you're addicted to and you've been trying to get free from it and you still haven't. And God's asking us to hold on to him because he will provide. In each of these situations, he can break into them. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, it tells us about finances. And we as a church, as you know, because Richard spoke about it the other week there, we are having to look at our finances. And we need God's provision in our finances. But again, I was reminded in Malachi where God reminds us to lay it out before him. And Adam, quite a long time ago, spoke to us about trying to outgive God. See if you can outgive God. That was a challenge we were given. Because Malachi reminds us that God will open the heavens and he will pour down his blessing. And we've seen that. But he's got more that he wants to do. And we need to press in to hold on to his promises. This morning I challenge you to try and outgive God. You'll not be able to do it. Good to try. When Abraham gave his son back to God, it was then that God said the promise of fruitfulness, would be immediately fulfilled. We need to come to a place where God means more to us than anything else. where we love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our minds, with all our soul, and with all our strength. And I wonder this morning, are we really ready to give up the gifts that God has given and let him, in his resurrecting power, take that gift and bless it and enable us to be a blessing to everyone that we come in contact with, from the people sitting in this room who we call brothers and sisters in Christ to the people that we step out these doors into the community in our workplace? Are we going to be that blessing to them? I'm going to ask the worship team if they would like to come up. Because this morning, maybe there are people here, and maybe you have been wanting a promise fulfilled. Maybe you have been crying out for something to the Lord, and he still hasn't fulfilled that. Maybe God is just reminding you this morning of that promise. And he just wants to say to you, I see you. I know that you're struggling, but lean into me. And I will provide for you. And this morning, I believe that there are people here who God has given you this morning, when you were coming in or during this week, you got a word for somebody. God has given you a word to give to somebody this morning. It may be a verse of scripture. It may be a picture. And this morning, I want to, while we're worshipping, I want to encourage you to look around at the people that are here this morning and just say, is there something, Lord, that you want to say to that person? And then I encourage you to move and go over and tell them what you feel God is saying to you. I encourage you to be the body of Christ together. You know, maybe you have had a promise that you've been waiting for a long time. Maybe you need to share that promise that you were given with somebody else and ask them, can you stand with me in this? I'm struggling. I want to hold on, but I'm struggling. And ask them to stand with you, to pray with you. So I'm going to, as we worship, I'm going to be over the side. If anybody wants prayer this morning, I'm happy to pray, and I'm sure there will be others that would be willing to do that as well. But I encourage you just to look around at the people and see who you want to encourage. Maybe you've got the word of promise for that person this morning.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, why not check us out on all social media platforms or visit broadmead.org.uk. Thank you.